On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, Josh and I continue our discussion on Caris LeVert's season plus. I throw out a trade possibility that could land the Nets their big three of the future. All that and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Barahal. Just giving you guys a heads up that this is part two of our conversation about Caris LeVert. Part one we began yesterday, so if you missed that, be sure to go check it out. If not, here is part two. We're talking about trade possibilities for Caris and kind of what we can expect from him going forward. So without further ado, here is the pod.
The reason why I actually think trading him makes sense is because if he were 23 or 24, I would probably think differently of it. But let's say this whole KD and Kyrie experiment doesn't work out. He'll be 28 or 29 by then. So it's not like, okay, now we're just going to build around Caris for these next 5 or 6 years. He's kind of going to be like a fully formed player and, you know, probably not someone that's going to be able to lead a team to anything maybe beyond the first round of the playoffs even. So it's not like if you do trade him, you're mortgaging your future, especially if it's kind of a like for like deal where it's, you know, Caris for Jrue Holiday. And maybe there's a couple things on either side to make the deal like palatable for each. But, you know, it's not like, okay, this doesn't work out, but now we at least have Caris and can have a whole new start with him. He's basically a fully formed player now and definitely will be in 2 or 3 years. So that's why I think the risk is kind of worth taking to get a guy who's probably more complementary to the Nets stars and, you know, for sure can be a good, you know, third or fourth banana and is a defensive minded player.
Yeah. I mean, from the perspective of trading him, I actually do agree with you. I think it would make sense. I just think he's kind of embedded with like the core group of guys. He's been kind of friends with KD for a while. He's one of the last guys who's like kind of a holdover from the old era and the new team, along with Joe and Spencer and Jared Allen. Like, those four guys have kind of been through all this and are now kind of trying to emerge, and who knows what Jared Allen's future is going to be. Joe Harris, you know, we hope they bring him back, but it's unclear. And so he's really like kind of the face of the old Nets becoming these new Nets. And so I don't know, it's hard to like weigh fan reaction into like any kind of trade, but I do think there would be some backlash if they traded him.
Yeah, but I think people would get over it. Like, realistically, the only, like, he's very sentimental for a group of Nets fans, because when he was drafted, the Nets were absolutely awful and it was like any sign of hope. And just like seeing someone that could, you know, like get a steal and go coast to coast and dunk it was like the greatest thing of all time. We're like, wow, this guy's going to be the next, like, I don't know, you know, Kawhi Leonard. So like 4 years in, he hasn't really proven anything from my vantage point. So it's like, yes, that you have the sentimental factor, but overall, like, what do you actually have? What do you have here that's really going to help your team get to the next level? Like, he can definitely help them win games in the regular season, probably. But, you know, when it gets to the highest level, is he going to be exposed as like not a really, you know, good offensive player? Because in my mind, he's not.
You don't think he's like that good of an offensive player?
I don't.
I know he's like not an efficient shooter, but I feel like he gets to the line a decent amount. He's a pretty good passer, given that he's like not really a point guard. I feel like he chips in a bunch of different areas.
Yeah, but he can definitely do a lot of things, but right. he's not really doing anything particularly well. And if that means it's the like what. I'd rather someone that's really good at like two things and not good at some other stuff, like Joe Harris, because then like the stuff that Caris wouldn't be doing is allocated to guys who can just do it better than him.
No, that's fair. And I like just talking this out, it feels like maybe he's more of like the good stats, bad team kind of guy, because for him to contribute in all those different areas, he needs opportunities in all those different areas. And to your point about Joe Harris, like, yeah, maybe Joe isn't as good of like a ball handler or a passer or anything as Caris might be, but like he's not going to be asked to do those things on this team. Whereas like if he signs for a bunch of money with the Knicks or with the Hornets or something, like they probably will ask him to do a little bit more than the Nets would ask him to do. Yeah. And so, yeah, maybe Karras does make sense, like, on the kind of team the Nets have had the past few years where they're, like, kind of pushing for, like, a 7-8 seed, like, 500-ish team, maybe get to, like, 45 wins if everything clicks kind of team. But we just haven't really seen him in a winning environment. So I don't know. Are you more of the opinion that if they were to trade him, they should do it, like, ASAP in the offseason, or would you want to wait until, like, trade deadline time?
No, do it ASAP. Do it ASAP.
Yeah.
I think, like, a lot of people are going to look at, like, raw counting stats, and obviously his raw counting stats are the best right now.
Right.
I mean, they're just naturally going to, even if I thought he was really good, they're going to be depressed by this season because, like, naturally he's going to be getting, like, way less shots. You know, he's probably only going to be getting 12 or 13 shots per game. With him, always it's, you know, there's an injury concern. So who knows if he has another bad injury, and that might shy teams away, because at this point it's just like, it's a recurring thing. So I think definitely cash in while the market's hot. And like, I'm just like, I just pulled up Evan Fournier, for example, and if you look at his offensive, if I showed you the stats, you would be very, very impressed by what Fournier is doing compared to Karras.
I love Fournier. I've been in on him for a while. Do you think they could get, like, I don't know, I haven't, like, looked at the salaries. It definitely doesn't match up, but could they get, like, Fournier and Aaron Gordon for Karras, just given his reputation?
That's interesting. Yeah, the salaries don't match up there.
Yeah.
I don't know what Orlando is getting there, because like Fournier, who's been in the league forever, it feels like, is only, you know, just under 2 years older than Karras. So it's not like you're completely resetting your future. I mean, I guess you get it, like, and you're also losing your best trade chip in Gordon. So I feel like, you know, Karras for Fournier plus, like, you know, a pick or maybe a decent role player that the Magic have, like, Wes Iwundu, or actually maybe, like, Kem Birch a lot.
I was just going to say maybe Kem Birch, and then you do a separate trade where you move Allen for like a wing, and then you have Birch kind of as your backup five.
Yeah, I would like that. So like maybe Birch a second and Fournier for Karras. But I know, I'm sure a lot of folks that are listening to this are like screaming because Fournier has, I mean, I think a lot of it also is like Karras was a guy that everyone saw at Michigan for 4 years, even though he got hurt a lot of times. Like, he's been in the lexicon forever. He's a guy that people root for. But when it comes to actually building a championship team, you know, you have to make those tough decisions sometimes.
RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and super easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, those prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Yeah, and I don't know. A question I have about Karras is, like, you know, we're talking about kind of his reputation around the league, and I think a lot of that is, you know, other players, that's fans. I'm curious how much of that is, like, front offices of teams and coaching staffs of teams. Like, because what we're talking about, like, we can look at the numbers, we can watch the games and say, like, oh yeah, he's not a very efficient scorer and, like, he kind of needs the ball. Like, these other teams have to know that, right? They have to see that. I don't know. I feel like when we talk about, like, him and Jared Allen, like, their value's definitely inflated around the league because of, like, certain plays they have, like, whether for Karras, that's, like, a nice crossover and, like, a huge performance against the Celtics, or for Allen, that's, like, a huge block, a huge dunk, that kind of thing. Like, it definitely gets brought up on national broadcast, but I wonder, like, do teams feel the same way, or are they kind of more, like, paying closer attention, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably somewhere in between. Like, you still have a mix of front offices in the NBA now. Some are, you know, smart, some are bad, and I think, like, the bad ones have obviously gotten a lot better over the years. But, you know, like, are they looking at what LeVert did in January, where he came, after he came back from injury, where, like, the entire month he was basically absolutely unplayable for the Nets? Like, I don't know. I think a lot of it's, like, you need to give your fans, especially if you're one of these teams, like, like you're a Charlotte or a Washington or kind of Phoenix before this recent hot stretch. Like, you need to give your fans something to like look forward to. And I think Karis is a guy that, like, similar to how Nets fans feel about him, has the reputation of someone that, you know, can do a lot more if he had his own team, has a lot of potential, and like can obviously put up big counting stats when he's running the show. He could put up, you know, probably 22-5-5 over the course of a regular season, but
yeah,
will it lead to, I mean, if he's the your number one guy, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, you're probably getting swept in the first round.
You're not even making the playoffs.
If you're in the East, maybe.
I still don't think so. But maybe if you're in the East. But, like, I mean, like, if he had his own team, he'd be nowhere close to Beal, and the Wizards couldn't make
right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it would come down to, like, supporting cast and stuff. But because the Wizards didn't really have anyone after Bertans and Bryant and Hachimura. Like, after that four, it kind of falls off.
Ish Smith? Troy Brown?
Love Ish.
Yeah. In the bubble, he definitely, you know, he was getting to the line more, 6 free throw attempts per game. I think a big bugaboo for him is that, you know, like, free throw percentage is something that needs to go up for him. Like, he should not be basically flat at 70% for his career. Like, he's shown no improvement in that area. And I know people are going to think this is very nitpicky, but, like, if you're getting limited opportunities, which is probably going to be the case for guys like him and Dinwiddie this year, just because you have more players around you, you have to be able to convert those more efficiently.
And I don't think we've talked about it on this podcast, but we've kind of brought it up in the past. What do you think about, like, because you just mentioned him and Dinwiddie, the idea of, like, having those two guys come off the bench and kind of run the second unit, almost like this Nets team that we saw in March and the bubble, like, that's kind of the Nets bench. And then, like, the starters are almost like a whole different team. Do you think Karis could kind of excel in that area if he's, like, basically just playing against backups?
Oh yeah. I mean, he's him and Dinwiddie both are way too talented to play against backups. They'll cook those guys for sure. But then it's like, is the Nets, especially when it gets down to, you know, they're playing the Bostons of the world, the Torontos of the world, like, are they going to be the starters will all have to, like, the star guys, sorry, will all have to play and mesh together, because, you know, you can't just have that, like, Chinese wall, like, in the whole thing. You have to integrate it more.
Yeah, and that would definitely help in the regular season, but, like, come playoff time when rotations get shortened, like, unless you're playing the Bucks, who are, like, giving their bench players, like, still a ton of run, there probably won't be as many opportunities for that to happen. So
yeah. No, that's totally fair. That's totally fair. And I'm not saying if they keep Karis on the team, it's going to be bad. I really don't think so, because I think, you know, you just have so much talent that it will hopefully work out. And the Nets, like, they'll be a team that's fun to watch. And I mean, I think the floor for this team at a minimum, like, obviously assuming a full 82 game season, which probably won't happen, is like high, very high 40s of wins, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. And like the fifth seed, sixth seed at worst.
Yep, exactly. And that would basically be like pretty, like, maybe like KD has to rest a lot, and then, you know, a big chunk of injuries to like either Karis or Kyrie or even Dinwiddie, who obviously is, you know, not impervious to that. It's like one or two of those three guys at any point miss like a 20 game stretch.
Yeah. I'm expecting a lot from this team next year. And like, I don't know if you've looked at like odds or anything like that, but, or power rankings or anything, like, people have started kind of putting out a bunch of early ones. I've seen the Nets kind of oscillating between like one of the top teams and being down in that like fifth range in the East. So I feel like people are still a little unsure of the KD Kyrie thing, which is fair considering they have not played any games together. I don't know.
Yeah. I think also there's a lot of folks that are gun shy because the last time the Nets had a superstar team with a superstar point guard coach did not work out super well.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about that during the shutdown.
But
that one did not work.
Yeah, we'll see. I think the good news is that you have guys who, you know, I can't even say that. I was going to say they're less petulant than Deron Williams, but not definitely not guaranteed. But you have guys that are at least all in their primes, unlike, you know, the two guys the Nets traded for last time who will not be named. And then you obviously had the Brook Lopez, you know, big injury, which ended up helping the Nets at least for that season, because, you know, KG was at least decent at the five, where he was basically unplayable at the four before that.
Just going back to Karis for 1 second to talk about like trade ideas. I know we kind of discussed that Locked On Bulls rumor where it was like basically LeVert and Jared Allen and the 19th pick being sent out, and the Nets were just kind of getting back Zach LaVine. That's not the kind of deal we would want to do. Is there a specific guy or even just like a type of guy that you would want back in return for Karis?
I think, you know, a guy who probably like makes their money more on the defensive end is probably the way to go here. I mean, you definitely don't want an offensive liability, but guys like, you know, Jrue Holiday, I think makes a ton of sense because they're going to be fine with a lower usage rate and like really want to, you know, kind of be the stopper on the defensive end. I think he's like, probably at this point, Karis has more trade value than this, but I know it's been rumored about a lot, like Aaron Gordon, that type of guy, not exactly that guy. But the problem is with these guys is that like when you have someone who's a really good two-way player, and Gordon's actually not a good two-way player because he's not a great offensive guy, but any good two-way player, those guys are usually on really good teams who aren't going to trade them because they are trying to contend themselves. And if they're not, if it's like a Jrue Holiday, they're so sought after because there's very few of those guys on the market. So, you know, there's limited trade targets. Like if the Nets were to make a play for Bradley Beal, that's great. You obviously get more firepower there, but it doesn't solve a lot of the structural issues with this roster that you and I have talked about, where it's like, you definitely need some wings who have a lot of size and are really there to defend and can, you know, guard the guys like LeBron James and Giannis and Kawhi and Jason Tatum. And right now the Nets have one guy that can basically do that in KD, but you know, he's not going to be what he was on the defensive end coming off the Achilles injury. And you don't want to put that wear and tear on him. So they definitely need more guys that can do that. You know, TLC is probably a little too slight. Temple's, you know, probably a little too old and more of a liability on the offensive end, and Prince just sucks. So you need to find a couple of guys like that. And it's worth consolidating some of your wing players and perimeter players if you do find the right opportunity.
Josh, I'm just going to throw this at you. I'm trying to get my wheels turning on potential trades. This is a three-team one that I just thought of, and I don't know. I haven't looked at the salary, so they probably don't match up, but you know, figure you throw in whatever. But if the Nets sent LeVert and Allen to the Jazz send Gobert to the Clippers, and the Clippers send Paul George to the Nets. And maybe there's picks involved also, but I don't know. I mean, there's been talk about the Clippers needing to upgrade at center, just given Anthony Davis. There's been the talks with the Jazz that Gobert and Mitchell maybe still have some beef over the coronavirus thing. For the Jazz, they would get Allen, who's like capable, and they'd add LeVert to pair with Donovan Mitchell. For the Clippers, they get an upgrade at their big man position, and for the Nets, they get kind of a two-way defensive wing in George. Is that too optimistic though?
Well, I love it for the Nets, and I love it for the Jazz. Mm-hmm. Because I think the Jazz could use a bit of a, you know, just a refresh. Although I feel bad for Karis and JA, who are going from Brooklyn to Salt Lake City.
It's a bit of a downgrade.
The one thing I don't see that's, you know, makes sense in that is, you know, from the Clippers perspective, like how is that going to work with Kawhi and, you know, obviously Kawhi and PG just kind of gave their, you know, rubber stamp on Ty Lue getting hired. Right. So I think you're going to want to give that a shot. And now you bring a guy in Gobert who's very divisive, I feel like. And I don't think him and Kawhi would mesh at all.
Two great defenders, though. That's two of the best at their position.
For sure. And I think the Clippers probably have enough like scoring and shooting where that can make sense. But I know they are pretty high on Zubats. So maybe they want to give, you know, a shot with him kind of being the guy to really, you know, man the middle for them and give him, you know, 25 or 30 minutes a game. They also have our boy Kabangele, if they want to throw him out there off the bench. So like that's maybe something I could see at the trade deadline, but not in the feel like the Clippers are going to want to give it another run with Kawhi and PG.
Yeah. No, I think I agree with you. I think it does make sense for the Jazz. But since the Clippers maybe seem like they're also trying to upgrade a point guard, I don't know. Maybe there's more stuff that could be done. But just some thoughts as we wrap up this.
No, I like it a lot. I like it a lot. I'm trying to think who else, you know, like what defensive guys that aren't like huge. Like the Nets basically need to find their version of like a Dorian Finney-Smith or Mikal Bridges, like one of those.
Royce O'Neal? Guys. I don't know.
Royce O'Neal, maybe. Trying to think. I don't think the Raptors would give up OG Anunoby.
No.
Trying to think who else is out there. Maybe like, I guess, do you think the Bucks are going to want to keep Middleton or would they be interested in like Dinwiddie and LeVert for Middleton?
I feel like they maybe should be interested, but I think they're kind of wanting to just run it back. Maybe trade for like a Chris Paul or someone who doesn't cost as much and try to just give it one more chance. But I feel like they'd be more open to that, like after this season, if it doesn't work out.
Yep. Yep. Or Maxi Kleba plus something else for LeVert.
I like Kleba.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
Yeah. Good shot.
Yeah. He can do a lot of things. He's like one of the guys I was talking about where, you know, he can do a bit of everything, but also I don't think it like takes away from the rest of the team. Like he's actually pretty good at everything. Mm-hmm. He can do a lot of one thing. But you know, he's pretty good at most things and, you know, doesn't really have any weaknesses, but also doing it in kind of like a lower usage setting, which is really my problem with Karis, that he tries to do a lot of things that he's not super good at.
Yeah. Part of that is just like, again, the roster around him. But yeah, part of that is also just he's better with the ball in his hands.
Yep. I feel like I was so negative on this podcast. Hate me now.
Yeah, do you want to just take like 20 seconds, just praise Karis? Maybe just say how happy you were during the overtime comeback?
Yeah, overtime comeback was one of the happiest Nets moments that I've had in recent years. I love Karis as a person. I love his story. And I don't hate him as a player. I just think for where this Nets team is trying to go and what they probably need to solve for, he's not the right guy to get them there. And also I'm a huge Dinwiddie fan. And I feel like if Kara stays, it probably means Dinwiddie's getting traded at some point.
Yeah. No, yeah, I get that. It feels like you kind of have to pick a side, even though I think it's possible they're both on the team to start the season.
Yeah. 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 But I feel like trade deadline, one of them's going.
Yeah. Yeah. If things don't go like perfectly smoothly. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. This has been a two-parter on Karis. Obviously had a lot to unpack here. Let us know what you think. Tweet at us at Locked On Nets. Marcus is at Marcus Barahal, Barahal. You can give me a ton of shade for my Karis, my Karis slander at JMBass_. And rate and review the podcast and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. We will be there. And until next time, be well.
Bye.